Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Lee Wilder, where we will be highlighting front page picks and also selected open poetry, which is just going to be fabulous. To let you know a little bit about ourselves, we are the Late Night Poets Group that sponsor all these evening and after midnight shows. And how this is done is we had so many poets donate their poetry from around the world, and they were collected in various amounts of books that you can find on all poets, at Amazon.com. And just like the name of our shows, the Late Night Poets Anthology, this is how we support these radio groups. And please go check it out, because these make wonderful gifts, and they're beautiful poems from around the world. And we are going to go ahead and have Gray Eyes pick up the callers so that we can get started in reading and commenting and listening to this amazing poems that were added today to the program. So go ahead, Gray Eyes.
Okay, hi, Louie. Welcome.
Hi, Gray.
Okay, we have Weaver. Hello, Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
Hello to you both.
Hello, Weaver.
Hello, my
Spice Gal.
Hello.
Hello, who else?
Thank you.
Yes.
We have Lauren. Lauren Tavares.
Oh, Mr. Butter.
Hello, Lauren.
Well, good evening. How are you? Nice to hear Gray. Nice to hear Katie. Nice to hear Louie. Nice to hear Jean. The team's all together.
Oh, and Frank's there as well. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank, my boy.
Iris. Hello, is that you?
My God. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there. How are you?
Hi, Gwen.
What a pleasure.
Hi. Hi, hi.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. Any other callers, Gray?
No, that's it as far as I can tell.
Pardon me?
That's it as far as I can tell.
Okay, all right. Well, if Phil's listening, if she sees another caller, can you please pick them up for us? We'd appreciate it. I'm not sure if she's listening or not, but let's go ahead and let's get started with this fabulous poetry. We are ready for our first poem, Miss Katie.
Okay, my darling. The first one is Autumn Leaves by Del Rey. And I wonder, Laurent, could you read this for us, please?
I'll be happy to. Autumn Leaves. My breath is a lost fall fair balloon. The aspen trees transition green to gold, pouring an ocean of fallen leaves that jostle on invisible currents. Below the apartment balcony, a blue jay screeches for brown acorns, and a maelstrom of oak leaves spin across the sun-baked asphalt. Wind songs swirl among swaying trees, and car horns blare from the city streets. Shimmering sunlight leads across traffic. The sky is dotted with marshmallow clouds. Slender canopy branches wave the flying geese. Hissing leaves skip across black pavement. Soft hums of air dance around strands of gray dog hair. My words are the cotton fluff of summer seeds. End poem. Nice collab.
You did. Excuse me?
The collab, right? Ruby Riot.
Yeah. Well, it was beautiful.
Nice.
That was just gorgeous. And you did such a beautiful, beautiful job in reading his poem. I would love to know what you think about the poem, Katie.
Oh, you could almost be there, couldn't you, watching the flying geese?
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. I liked it very much. Yes, and a seamless collaboration. You can't tell one from t'other, which is the way it should be, I think. Not that I know. Oh, dear. My breath is lost, fall fair balloon. The aspen tree transitioned green to gold. I like when they change color. I mean, I know it means we've got all the bad weather to come, but it's lovely. And this is beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing.
Agreed. Thank you, Katie. Wonderful comment. How about you, Gray?
Yeah, I thought Lawrence did an excellent job of leading that wonderful collab. It was seamless. It was flawless. You know, it held to Del Rey's nature aspect of his rights, as well as the inner city, which was nice. So, a great job.
Agreed. And then, Laurent, you did such a wonderful job in reading that poem. You are next on it.
Well, Del Rey's poetry is normally aimed at nature, and I'm never at a loss for words to admire how he manages to appreciate nature in different language each and every time. And here, he says it's not deeply into a forest, but he gives us an apartment balcony, a blue jay screeching for brown acorns, leaves, a maelstrom of oak leaves spinning across the sun-baked asphalt. Yet within all of that, within the car horns blaring, within shimmering sunlight bleeding across traffic, he gives us the geese, the soft hums of air dance, which I thought was beautiful phrasing. And that last image, the cotton fluff of summer sea, what a beautiful piece.
Agreed. Thank you. And we are ready for our next wonderful comment. Laurent, thank you for reading.
And next we have Memories of the Animal Shelter. Now, I'm actually getting quite a lot of noise. I don't know if anybody else is hearing this. It sounds like somebody, I don't know what it sounds like, but it's gone. Okay, thank you. Memories of the Animal Shelter by Vibrant Oddities. And Gwen, could I ask you to read this for us, please?
You want me to read?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, please, if you could.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you so much. One moment. Okay, very good. Undress my bright eyes and lyrical expressions. Is that, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. That's the correct one?
Vibrant Oddities, yes.
By Lu Yu?
No, that's not the one we brought up.
No. That's what I was asking, yeah. Uh-huh. Which one?
Memories of the Animal Shelter by Vibrant Oddities.
Oh, there. I got
she just,
it. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Memories of the Animal Shelter by Vibrant Oddities. 2 years together before lives and recovery, gentle hands sing songs of comfort, embrace reconstruction. Woodland dreams return as intensity rises. Kin and common makes this environment feel like home again. Storing knowledge as cautious eyes save further lives and distress and sweetness. My memories are lovely. Kittens purring, huskies howling as pit bulls become playful, no matter the struggle. Each day was beautiful. A workhorse for the ages, preventing calamities in the age of uncertainty. Our leadership reflects good humanity, giving the numerous travels a chance to make a difference. The man in the scarecrow hat begins again. Good night under May nomadic reflections and forest caress. This occupation has made me a better person. A feeling that my time has come for resignation. Voyager truly begins to fly. I disappear without saying goodbye. Precious moments in laughter, dedication, hardship and lovely melodious conversation. Memories not forgotten. I leave behind passages and return in future moons. Proudly with dedication, these people brew uplifting seas. The beauty I see in the forest passages, the future adventures, animals in good arms, await adoption calling. Technicians, officers, leaders, fighters, dreamers, and believers softly had made a difference in the community. Beautiful days across talkative moons brew deeper lenses for future expeditions. A family who cares deeply. In return, I shall awaken further, always with open arms. Friends of fairness forever inspire a new generation. Behind elder shadows, I gifted you rapid repetition, dedication, with resignation, a lone wolf of no goodbye. in poem.
Oh, you did such a lovely read of her poem. You know, there's so many people in our lives that quietly work for the benefit of society that we normally don't think about. And in this poem, she brings it out, you know, she brings out the technicians, the officers, the leaders, the fighters, the dreamers, and the believers, and, you know, the volunteers that work in the humane society, you know, taking care of these animals that have been thrown away. And, you know, to remember, you know, I like right here where she brings out a feeling that time has come for resignation. Warrior true begins to fly. I disappear without saying goodbye. Precious moments and laughter, dedication, hardship, and lovely melodious conversation, memories not forgotten. You know, those that time where, you know, it comes for you to you resign, but how, you know, how heavy your heart is to leave something, you know, a job where you caretake, whether it's animals or, you know, rescue places where these animals are taken, and, you know, want to give them, you know, a thanks for their hard work that they do, and it is truly appreciated for them to find homes or to release animals back into the natural habitat of the wild. And, you know, thank you so much for all your hard work. And you did such a beautiful job in reading her poem, Gwen. And Gwen, since you did read and it is your turn to comment, I would like to know what you think.
Oh, I thought it was a really beautiful, deep poem. And I thought she took a lot of care to really express herself in some really beautiful ways. And I like her word choices, too. And I like the way the poem flowed. It was very touching.
Great. Thank you so very much. And Katie, your next comment.
It was lovely. It was really lovely. Here is somebody who gives their time and their love and their care to the community. But I like the fact, I don't know if I like, I am intrigued by the fact that in her AN, she says that, and in her poetry, she says that she doesn't actually say goodbye, if I was reading this correctly. She doesn't say goodbye because she feels that if she doesn't, she can then come back again and revisit, which I thought was quite a interesting way to look at it, actually. Anyway, I thought very well done. I really enjoyed it, so thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And that was our third comment, and we're ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is Yes, He is Stars and More by Hope So. I will read this one, as it's my turn. Out of your mouth divides the distance from the stars and heavenly bodies. Asteroids that circle Jupiter's rhinestone belt, Galilean satellites springs forth milk, pulling blades and collarbones, bone of you that I drink from, to touch the divine. Behind my ribs to live and stay, without a secret, nothing hidden in old kists. Every delicate part is open, linking pieces, licked by rose quartz, grounding in roots that unearth beautiful feathered buds, which thundered your corrosion to mine. All the artistry between truth and beauty is where you lay in a twilight haze, awakening only for the central Texas sun that breathes in me. We're never alone with the glow from white sapphire embracing garnet. Drip pearlescent oyster beads to dress this black honey suede. Jack Azores dramatic landscapes with crimson blood lead lines where the broken were left to die but now sing. You dwell in those landscapes where lips will make a homestead. Vanilla in the pancake batter, sweet lecty in negro bitter coffee, where the rooster and moans meet, eating any distance, erupting in our central nebula. End poem.
Oh, Katie, you did such a beautiful job of reading Hope's beautiful love poem to Nuno. Let's go ahead and get some comments. And Gray Eyes, your next comment.
Yeah, you did a beautiful job of reading Hope's poem for Nuno. It's, you know, you can feel the love and the inspiration that he provides her in her rites. It just oozes through from the words, and it paints such a beautiful picture as well, especially that last stanza. Where rooster and moans meet, eating any distance, erupting in our central nebula. Yeah, just a beautiful poem and well read.
Thank you. Can you just a second? Irish Rose, are you still with us? Gwen? Okay. We lost Gwen. Laurent, you're next to comment.
I was very struck by the beautiful language in this piece, the use of the stars and galaxies and heavenly bodies to establish that imagery of love. Out of your mouth divides the distance from the stars and heavenly bodies, asteroids that circle Jupiter's rhinestone belt. Right off the bat, that kind of language just pulls me in. And the bone of you that I drink from to touch the divine, gorgeous. And she uses that, Hope uses that that language throughout. I love things like drip pearlescent oyster beads to dress this black honey suede. Gorgeous language, beautiful imagery, wonderful metaphors.
Beautiful comment. And let's see. Katie, let's give you the third comment since Gwen dropped.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Vibrant Oddities, beautifully done. Am I on the wrong one, am I? No,
On Hope, no, yeah.
On Hope, so sorry. I was busy trying to write how much I enjoyed it, and I've lost it. Oh, my goodness, this is the way we go, isn't it? Wow. Okay, got it, yes. Beautifully, yeah, beautifully written. I love, as Louie already said, the feeling of joy and love and a little touch of sadness, which I think is not unusual, but yeah. And I like the idea of vanilla in a pancake batter. And I was actually writing to say, sorry, I mispronounced a few things. I do apologize. They're unfamiliar words to me, so my bad, sorry. But I hope I didn't spoil it, because it was beautiful. I love the word choices. I really enjoyed this. To dress this black honey suede. My, who wouldn't mind wearing black honey suede? Wonderful. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Hope, for sharing.
Yeah, thank you. And we're ready for our next front page pick.
Okay. And this one has a SoundCloud, Average White Man. And yeah, it's going to get this now. Mm-hmm. Running behind myself again.
No, you're doing fine. And Gray, while she's doing that, can you please look up the recording by Average White Man, please?
Yeah, I'm ready to post it.
Thank you. I love the fact that you're all working together. And I'm okay, it's there now. It's Not Too Late by Average White Man. Thank you.
I am crippled by this burden, the weight of unfulfilled sin. Forgive me, my love, for I love beautiful things. Take this yoke from me, place it on the ground. Leave me just the memories like littered clues, hints of love and its cries with a haunting resound. Will you wait for me, should your bonds be removed? Will you embrace the solitude or seek the comfort of an interlude? Will you wait for me till the sun burns from the sky? Let the years pass by as you age like lilac wine. I will wait for you, should the worst come to pass. I will embrace the quiet eternal nothingness of the everlast. I am weighted by these thoughts and the joy that you could bring. Forgive me, my love, for I love beautiful things.
Oh my goodness. You know, I had told him I would, there's nothing more wonderful than hearing a poet's own voice read their own poetry, the inflections and the emotions that we hear, and especially if they have a fabulous accent. You know, right here, when I was listening to him read, I was really touched by these words, that the years pass by as you age like lilac wine. I will wait for you. Should the worst come to pass, I will embrace the quiet eternal, nothing of the everlast. You know, those thoughts of somebody, how you will love them through eternity. And no matter how they age, we find the beauty in those times and in those moments, in each smile crease and each little laugh line that somebody has, you know, their habits and the things that they say and speak. You know, we carry those with us. And I thought that he did that so beautifully. And what did you think about the poem, Gray?
Yeah, you know, he has a wonderful reading voice, and I liked it, you know. It's about waiting for that love and not ever giving up on that hope of happiness and beauty that will bring. So it was a wonderful write, inspirational for sure.
Agreed. Wonderful comment, Greg. And our third poet to comment is Laurent.
The weight of that unfulfilled sin that is described as a yoke to be placed on the ground, leaving behind just the memories like littered blues and some love at its cause with a hunk of desire. And this entire thing was haunting in its beauty. The questions he asked, will you wait for me till the sun burns from the sky, that the years pass by, would you age lilac wine? Do double your appreciation, will you, of that particular line. As Gray said, it is a poem of never giving up, of waiting, of hoping that once those bonds have been removed, whether it be, well, another relationship probably. And that last line, forgive me my love for all the beautiful things. Oh. Great news.
Great. And wonderful comment, Laura. Thank you. And Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
Right. And our next one is I Am Spring by Robert Polesky. And Gray, I wonder if you could read this for us, please.
Sure. You bet. I Am Spring by Robert Polesky. I am the spirit lifting sun rays, gently flowing breeze, warming up your hair, aroma hovering over partially green meadow, carnival of scents blowing in the air, nature's defibrillator, jump-starting life into the land. I am dawn, moon's bright sheen, over the malachite green grass, the grandeur of purple crocuses, glowing with royal pride, shoals of honeysuckle, primroses, and bluebells, swaying and weaving a rich mosaic, cauterizing gaping wounds winter left behind. I am the jewel, green grasshopper, bouncing atop the grass like leggy trampolines, plump bumblebees looting from honeypots of mustard yellow flowers, proud-breasted pigeons strutting through the horde of sun-faced dandelions, grinning at the greens. I am honking geese, whooping swans from winter exodus of banished birds, flowing out of Celtic fairy tale, murmuration of starlings wheeling and banking overhead like wind-tossed gunpowder, calves braying for company, lowing in the mead, yipping fox clubs breaking the quiet of the world. I am spring. Bring peace to Mother Earth. Love what I do. End poem.
Okay, Gray, would you like to take over getting comments, please? I think.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. You're back.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be doing this all night, so I apologize.
So
you know, you did a wonderful job in reading the poem Gray Eyes by Robert Pulaski, where he talks about I am spring. You know, I could comment on each stanza, but, you know, I love nature. So I was really attracted to the I am the jewel green grasshopper, bouncing atop the grass like leggy trampolines. Bumblebees looting from honey pots of mustard yellow flowers. Proud-breasted pigeons strutting through the horde of sun-faced dandelions green, grinning at the greens. I mean, I just smiled from ear to ear when I heard that. I really loved that stanza very much. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes. I mean, the very title alone, is that not just, and that face of the person covering themselves in flowers. That is so cool. Well, that is spring in a different way, I think. It was lovely. I particularly like I am dawn moon's bright sheen over the malachite green grass, the grandeur of purple crocuses glowing with royal pride. Yeah, purple for royalty. Beautifully written, and I loved all the flowers and the colours and the little insects heaping about. I thought it was beautifully written. So thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you.
Thank you. And you read this poem, Gray Eyes, and it's your turn to comment. I would like to know, what did you like about it?
I thought it had fantastic imagery, and you can feel his love for spring in the poem. It was beautifully crafted and a pleasure to read it. I really enjoyed it. I am the jewel green grasshopper bouncing atop the grass with leggy trampolines. Thumb-plump bumblebees looting from honey pots of mustard-yellow flowers, proud-breasted pigeons strutting through the horde of sun-faced dandelions grinning at the greens. So, yeah, beautiful poem, excellent imagery as well. Great job, Robert.
Great. Thank you. And I see Miss Bobby, one of our other radio hosts, is on the board. Were you able to pick her up, Greg?
Yes, she is.
Hi, Bobby. Welcome, sweetheart.
Hi. It's been a while.
Yes, ma'am. And happy to have you. Happy to have you anytime I can get you, girl.
Happy to be had.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Missed you guys.
We're going to get you here shortly. We're during open poetry, so we're still doing front page pick. So welcome. And we're ready for the next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay.
May I comment on I am spring?
Did you want to make a comment on Robert's poem?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
First off, he pictured one of my absolute favorite artists, Giuseppe Arcimboldo, whom I had the great good fortune when they had his collection here at one of the galleries in D.C., one of the museums.
Oh, wow.
A number of years ago, I got a chance to see his work up close and personal. Amazing. I've always marveled at Arcimboldo's imagination. But what Robert has done with his poem is he has personified, the seasons and the creatures and made it a delightful read. It made it very personal. You're a grasshopper. Mm-hmm. You're moonlight. You're a goose. I mean, it's almost like Merlin helping Arthur to inhabit other creatures, to imagine what it's like. His poem is almost Merlin-like in its magical powers to let us see through other eyes.
Mm-hmm. You do a lot of those type of contests on your show, and, you know, it's just so fascinating, you know, how you bring out all these different artists, and we appreciate it, Bobby.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for such a wonderful comment,
And back to you, Miss Katie.
Righty, ho ho. Okay, next we have You Name These by Mad Lad. And Laurent, I wonder if you could read this for us, please.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Maybe on the second. All right. You name these. Even when I'm stretching out my arms towards you, asking for assistance, my fingers are still clenched closed. Maybe I find it easier to earn trust than finance it. Note, I know that this is a critique of the probable, but if possible. Often it takes only one bee to violate an entire nursery sanctity. But then Picasso says, make mistakes. And my Buddha skips Nirvana to publicly add, but darling, do you understand all that you know? Echo. And how much of it is you? So, the qualitative identity of quantity is an axis, accidentally stepping off the graph. And perhaps this is where it dawns on you that dreams can't be owned. Sailing leisure for profit. A blunt road roiled too high. At least be brave enough to be an honest confession. Words working me, don't drift ditty Brittany, muscle-lessly into death, red domination. Neither can they possibly evolve. I am a dent, was, I was the scar, I like to think of the first rooster, Oedipus. I was mother hen got wet, sitting on his egg form. Incubating is not rioting your future child, you pervert. Yet, praying for your instant wishes be fulfilled doesn't make me a sadist. Just like the stick or its absence between your groins decides your popularity when you ride the broom, the myth of modernity is a flight from history. And
what a wonderful read of his poem. I really enjoyed all his imagery that he put out here. And there were several lines that I liked a lot. One of these kind of like, I'm on steroids right now, so I'm probably going to be saying things that I shouldn't say. I like to think of the first rooster, Oedipus, how his mother hen got wet sitting on his egg form. Oh, that energy just burst out into my head when I heard Leon reading it. And, you know, that's just something I've never read before or actually ever thought about. But he did such a great job in reading his poem, Laurent. I really enjoyed this poem by Mad Lad. And our next poet to comment is Katie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just busy translating the hieroglyphics. I'll be with you in a moment. Wow, I love it. I thought this was so, it was mad, totally mad, and I love mad.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just realized what you said when I just come across what you were talking about. So funny. Praying for your instant wishes to be fulfilled doesn't make me a sadist, ? No, perhaps not. Anyway, apart from that, I thought it was very clever. Very clever. I'm not blushing at all. And I think that this is somebody that I'm going to have a look at their poetry to see where he goes to and where he's coming back from, because it's very interesting. Thank you. And
great.
How are you doing?
Agreed. Thank you so much. And, let's see who's next to comment. Laurent. You read this poem, I would love to know what you think.
I think that a mad genius strikes again. Skillfully, metaphorically, agonizingly pricking and puncturing assumptions, building an emotional resonance of relationships and life. That is what I think.
Well, that's very fascinating. Thank you, Laurent. And fabulous read. And Miss Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
Yes, and the next poem upcoming is also has a SoundCloud, and it's Streetlights by Arcana Amour. I just love saying his name. Ah. So I wonder if Greg could find that for us, please.
And could you post it in the group, because I don't see it. It didn't come up.
I've got it. I've got it up. Does anybody else see it? Because I can see it. Streetlights by Arcana Amour.
I can see it. I can see
Thank you.
Have you got it, Lou?
Yes. Thank you.
Streetlights stand vigil in the void of night, whilst people drift away to far-flung shores. Nocturnal eyes watch intently from shadows, awaiting passengers who ride the darkness. Umbra paints the air in shades of midnight, searching fleeting echoes from passing ghosts, as billowing breaths freeze to scattered mists that aimlessly float forth on distant whispers. Absent footsteps scream into silent stillness as moonlight melts between cascading clouds. Strange cries call out an ephemeral presence, swiftly departing on the flickering breeze. Reflections resonate over rippling waters, drowning in the depths of ebony hues. Dormancy reigns this deserted interlude, save for the beating wings of shade. Strays weighed this emptiness, heading their way homeward toward safe haven. Solace seeks the embrace of dwindling dreams, ebbing in the twilight of dawn's caress.
So much for his SoundClouds and the music that he puts behind them, because it just perfectly matches the mood. You know, for me, you know, when you sit there and you actually watch and what's going on with when the night lights, if you're out in the evening, you know, what we have sidewalks or cobbleways, absent footsteps scream into silent darkness. You know, you never realize how much you can hear things when it's quiet outside. And then, you know, where you can hear the clicking of the footsteps. It's, you know, that gives a little bit of eeriness and a sadness to it, because how it just wanes off. As moonlight melts between cascading clouds, strange cries call out ephemeral presence, swiftly departing upon flickering breeze. How, you know, the sounds just slowly fade. And I thought that he caught that so wonderfully in Gray Eyes. What did you think?
Yeah, that was a fantastic SoundCloud. And, you know, the night pulls at some hearts with a longing that they walk in and wade in. which is captured in this poem brilliantly. You know, and then there's the onlookers who watch it all and listen to the calls of to the calls of those that call out an ephemeral presence, swiftly departing on flickering breeze. It's a fascinating poem. Excellent, right? And a fantastic read. Thank you for sharing.
Great. Thank you, Greg. Wonderful comment. And Bobby, I would love to know what you think of our Canis poem.
Oh, it's just a stunning visual imagery. As a matter of fact, I found myself having a flashback. Streetlights stand vigil in the void of night while people drift away to far-flung shores, nocturnal eyes watching from shadows awaiting passengers who ride the darkness. And it reminded me, that passage right there immediately reminded me when I was a child and I was sitting in the front seat of my parents' car, my mom driving me home from my grandmother's after spending the day there. I was always fascinated as we were coming home at night in the wintertime of how the streetlights, the light would dance, would sweep across the windscreen as a tide, it would sweep row after row. Each street light that you would pass would flop across the windscreen. And I hadn't thought of that in years. And how I was always fascinated by that, especially since she always had me lay down on the seat because I was always tired, and I'd put my head in her lap, and I would watch the streetlights as we drove underneath them.
Yeah.
And that passage immediately brought that memory back to mind. And so the is a very provocative piece. It makes you think of the things in the darkness that you don't, it makes you aware of what's out there that you become inured to, the tiny things, reflections resonate over rolling waters, and the ethereal of feeling of it, as he says, aimless, the last line of each stanza, the aimless float, that aimlessly float forth on distant whispers or swiftly depart on the flickering breeze, save for the beat of wings of shade. He's got some absolutely elegant and exquisite metaphors. And I've tucked this away in my favorites, and I'm going to throw this at the FPPs.
No, thank you. And a wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you so much. Okay, Miss Katie, you're ready for the next one.
Oh, I am. Right, sorry, I went into some weird voice. I do apologize. Oh my. Constant in Life by Hats is our next poem, and Bobby, I wonder if you would read this for us, please.
I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, I wish I hadn't now.
I've missed your voice.
Oh, thank you, and I've missed you too. Lovely to hear you again.
Okay, we have Constant in Life by Hats. Low-hanging Art Deco chandeliers contrast sharply with the dark ceiling above our heads. The sound of trumpets and saxophones carries through the club. Negroni and gin fizz on a tray. We dance, and he moves with the grace of the wind blowing over the rye field. His body wraps me like a blanket, and his husky voice slips into my hair. You're the only one. He pulls me close. My cheek fits into the hollow of his shoulder. I want you. Three words fill the empty space inside my chest. Then he runs his lips over my collarbone, wetly kisses my neck, and I shiver. His mouth is slowly nears my mouth, and wah! It tastes like the night air after a summer storm. This kiss is forceful, lustful, robbing me of my breath and thoughts, leaving me hungry. He is my gravity, a constant in life. End poem.
You beautifully read this poem by Hats, Constant in Life, Bobby. Thank you so much. Gorgeous read. Katie, it is your turn to comment.
Thank you. I thought this was very lovely and very sensual. Yes, and I did like those last two lines that just brought everything together. He is my gravity, a constant in life. That's a wonderful sentiment. Isn't that beautiful? Such a clever way to put it. I do like that. Yes, it was beautifully done, as usual, of course, as one would expect from Hatch. But you're talking my language. Low-hanging Art Deco chandeliers contrast sharply with the dark ceiling above our heads. The sound of trumpets and saxophones carries through the club. Oh, wouldn't you love to be there? Oh, wow. Yep, that was wonderful. Thank you so much, Hatch, for sharing.
Thank you. And Laurent, it's your next turn to comment next.
Thank you. I like the way a dance is used to exhibit the needs, the emotions, the love of the two. When the words "I want you," three words fill the empty place inside my chest. It's "I want you" is almost as good as "I love you." It's three words, very direct. "I want you" signifies the lust. "I love you" signals the pure aspect, perhaps. The description, his mouth is slowly nears my mouth, and wow, it tastes like the night air after a summer storm. Some kisses are exactly like that. It's like fragrance exploding in your mouth. It's like the French scent of out of doors. Your sentences are heightened, and so much rushes through your mind. But I'll agree with Katie on those last lines. "Use my gravity, a constant in life." It's that one thing that does not change. That's nice.
Agreed. You know, thank you, Laurent. What I loved about this poem also was that, you know, Katie had mentioned that, you know, that this takes us back to a moment in time. It just reminded me so much of the romantic dance movies that they had come up with, and how you would see them in this club, and everybody is dressed to the nines. And, you know, you knew the attraction. You could see the attraction on the couple's face by the way that they danced. You know, I really like this. "I want you." Three words fill the empty space inside my chest. Then he runs his lips over my collarbone, wetly kisses my neck, and I shiver. His mouth is slowly nears my mouth, and wah, it tastes like the night air after the summer storm. And I just thought that she beautifully did this in this timepiece. Thank you so much, Hat, and beautiful read, too. And we're ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is "It's Always Been You" by Cedar Chapman. And, Gray, could you read this for us, please?
I certainly can.
Thank you.
Okay. So this is "It's Always Been You" by Cedar Chapman. How could I have known I was born broken? That photosynthesizing sunlight and growing deep roots in fertile soil just isn't enough. I long to walk, to soar, to be wanted, to feel the ocean air and smell the salty sea, to have the spring breeze tantalize my skin, sending shivers and quivers down my thigh. There wasn't any recipe book, but I should have known from the day you walked into English class in your baby blue Danielle Hector sweater, ankle crop jeans and white canvas keds, no socks, of course. I was but a small fry in a large fish bowl of pimples and hormones, a boy flexing his fins, trying to swim upstream with teenage men, hoping you would notice a baby-faced halfling. Difficult to fathom why you didn't jump on a 5-foot, 100-pound frame, a flayed seedling carried by the wind, nurturing an involuntary 10 years friend's plan to whittle you down and woo you. With each midnight to sunrise phone call, we were walking along the shoreline, hands held, hands locked, gulls crooning, foaming waves caressing, flattening sand. You saw me play beach volleyball, spent years studying Arnold Schwarzenegger's modern encyclopedia of bodybuilding. No longer half boy, yet half a man, incomplete, until that familiar scene when I pushed our entire friendship to the center of the poker table and kissed you. So here we are, three kids later, approaching Freedom 55. I'm sleeping in wool socks, wearing a toque, while you're half naked in your granny's, star-shaped, frost crystallizing on an open bedroom window. Gravity is cruel to our bodies. Your eyes sag uncertain, even when knowing I'm broken without you. It's always been you. I still shiver and quiver every night, perhaps with my sheepish boyish grin. Tonight, you'll reach for my thigh, and you'll smell the salty sea air again. End poem.
Fabulous read, Gray Eyes, and wonderful poem by Cedar. Let's get some comments. Katie, your next comment.
Oh, yes. Some of these word choices are absolutely amazing. I mean, it just looking at things from a different angle just brings you that amazing ability, I think, to just pick and put together things that I've not heard of before anyway. I like... I've lost it now. I'm sleeping in wool socks, wearing a top, while you, half naked in your granny's, star-shaped frost crystallizing on an open bedroom window. That is lovely. It really is. So many things. And it was beautiful, beautifully written and very truthful. You get the feeling here, this could have happened. This could have been. And I thought it was lovely. I'm just very sorry about the pimples and the hormones. Can't be easy.
No, it's not easy. Thank you, Katie. And we'd like to welcome Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hello. Can you hear
welcome,
me?
Welcome, welcome. Yes, we can hear you. And since you haven't got the comment yet, we would love to hear what you thought of Cedar's poem.
First of all, I want to say hello to everyone. The poem itself was very reverential. I thought it was a beautiful poem. And I really thought the essence of the poem was reflected on that last line. You know, when you get older and you're in a relationship, you tend to appreciate more that person. And I thought I saw this captured in this poem, so I thought he did a fantastic job.
And that was a fabulous comment. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Laurent, you're our third poet to comment on Cedar's poem.
I had the great pleasure of listening to this, I think, on Tuesday, Tuesdays. It's a poem that is essentially a life story, but he makes it so human with that stanza. I was but a small fry in a large fishbowl of pimples and hormones, a boy flexing his fins, trying to swim upstream with teenaged men, hoping you would notice a baby-faced halfling. And how often has that happened to all of us? And we feel totally out of the running for a relationship that we fantasize about, that makes us long to walk, to soar, to be wanted, all of those emotions. And then to end up later on, three kids later, approaching freedom of 55, having raised a family, having established that relationship, and with a gorgeous, gorgeous, an ironic description of what gravity does to our bodies, just when we are old enough to want to know more, to do more, et cetera. No.
That's true.
Our eyes sag uncertain. But it's always been you, and that's what makes this so special.
Agreed. And that was a fabulous comment. I enjoyed it. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay, McDookie. Here we have Oaken Canopies by Bev Smith. And I'm going to ask Bobby to read this, if she wouldn't mind, only because I haven't heard her for so long.
That's fine.
You really are making a girl feel good. I'll appreciate that.
My pleasure. Always my
pleasure. Pleasure is good for everybody.
Yes, I love my voice. I get to listen to it for hours.
Good one.
I said that just to laugh.
I don't have bubbles.
Okay, we have Oaken Canopies by Bev Smith with a beautiful photograph here. Even dead, you live. It said, a tree's roots go deep as the tree is tall and then some, spreading left, right, east and west underneath unseen. I've known you my entire life, gazing up through your branches and passing, off the school bus, walking home a quarter mile or more on a dead-end road, I'd ponder to the gravel shift under the road, under my foot. Your nearly dead vision, often eerie, against the darkening sky, buzzard-topped, your great oaken reach as trophies in their spreading winged pose for drying feathers. Today, I'm a woman grown, and you're still stood, an aging sentinel, your trunk girth, an ant's lifetime of march, its reach. Now, mostly dead, I never knew to ask your name. End poem.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful read. Bobby, if you would go in her, and she wrote for a quote, if you would read that.
Yes. Quote. I watch the trees bow and their leaves fall and crawl back into the earth as though that was that. This was one hurricane I lived through. The other one was of a different sort and lasted longer. Then I felt my own leaves giving up and falling.
Oh, thank you so much. Gray Eye, you are next to comment, and I would love to know what you think.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I enjoyed it. You know, the personification of an oak tree is fantastic. I mean, I had one when I was growing up, and I used to stare up through its branches and wonder how long it had been there. I never thought to ask its name, though. But, you know, it did take me away to places in the sky as I journeyed through the branches to the top of the tree to overlook the city. And it was just a beautiful oak tree. So it reminded me of my oak tree when I was a kid. Well done.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I loved about this poem was that, you know, like Gray brought the personification, the tribute to this tree and, you know, how just like everything around us ages, so did the trees. And, you know, and I really loved how she used the vision as she was aging. The tree also was aging with her. Today, I'm a woman grown and you're still stood an aging sentinel, your trunk's girth, an ant's lifetime of march its reach. You know, and, you know, she, you know, the little things that we don't normally think of and how we go through life and just like they have to deal with dealing with, you know, drought, heat, you know, just like we deal through our own problems. So, you know, I thought that this was a fabulous tribute to the tree. And Bobby, you are next to comment.
Oh, I like it reminded me of my fondness for mythology and how a tree for many cultures is much more than a tree. It can embody a spirit or a dryad. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminded me of that and the fact that she imbued in her poem and in her thinking of that tree, she embodied it with its own spirit, and because mm-hmm. she referred to it not as a bit, but as a you. You're still stood tall, an aging sentinel, your trunk's girth, an ant's lifetime of march. And especially the last three lines, now mostly dead, I never knew to ask your name. I mean, this tree is more than a tree to her. It is a companion, a memory.
Great. Thank you. And Katie, I'm going to let you and Gray run the show for a wee bit because I need to go take some medicine, and I will be right back. So go ahead and drop in our next poem.
Okay, my darling. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is this will be the last of our front page picks, and I would like to play Pam's poem, My Parade of Seasons, and there is a SoundCloud for that. So could you maybe get that for me, Gray?
Yep. You bet. Let me know when.
Yeah, that's it up now. My Parade of Seasons by Pam Ray.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
My Parade of Seasons. Inside me, a parade of seasons passes by in acrobatic theatrics, a staged performance for their own amusement. Spring is full of hope, stretching towards sunlight and possibilities, renewal birthed in robin's nests and dandelions. Summer is warm and glowing, sprinkled with wildflowers and the dance of honeybees to find the sweetness of life. Autumn is calm and confident, a show of jewels and dancing leaves, mysterious in mysticism, pushing the veil aside until she touches the edge of winter and begins to crumble and fade. Winter is a bitch, cold, silent, dark, covered paths and biting winds that take over the mind and buries me in an avalanche of her cryptic notes of blues and grays. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read. And such a touching rite, you know, you can feel the seasons pass as they parade through her life. And, you know, leaving her with winter as a bitch, cold, silent, dark, covered paths and biting winds that take over the mind and buries me in an avalanche of her cryptic notes of blues and grays. Wow, such a deep personal rite. Well done. Thank you, Pam. And Weaver, what did you think?
I think I called this My Parade of Reasons for some reason. Maybe I didn't, but in my head I hear it. Thank goodness I didn't. My Parade of Seasons is such a lovely title. And I do love the fact that it's coming completely from her perspective. Spring, the summer, autumn. Yes, and then we get to down to the last. Is it the last stanza? Yes, and I like it so much. Or the last couple of stanzas. Winter is a bitch, cold, silent, dark, covered paths and biting winds that takes over the mind and buries me in an avalanche of her cryptic notes of blues and greys. Beautifully done. And it was very well read as well, Pam. I think this is just epic. As you never disappoint, you always write beautifully. But I thought this one was particularly, it's a little bit of sadness, but an awful lot of hope, which I think is what we need. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Lord, what did you think?
Let me come off.
Hello,
me.
Lord.
Work better. As usual, Pam presents us with, when she wants to, layers of meaning. The poem itself is beautifully described, the seasons, their corresponding tendencies. But it was also, I thought, a poem that presented the stages of life in a really metaphor of brilliance. What really got me was that end lines and buries me in an avalanche of her cryptic notes of blues and grays, and to me that speaks somewhat of the melancholy of old age. You begin losing friends, you become a little bit infirm, maybe more than infirm, things of life are denied to you, and as you sit there bemoaning that, why nature is tracing its gray through your hair, a direct compliment to age. I may be wrong on that, but I thought that's what it meant, and it was beautifully done.
Well done. I mean, well said. Thank you, Lord. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Lauren. It it beautifully details the seasons of a person's life and how youth is so full of hope and idyllic. And when we stretch into summer, feeling invincible, how we can conquer the world, and how as we slip into older years, we grow calm and confident. Autumn is calm and confident, a show of jewels and dancing leaves, mysterious and mysticism pushing the veil aside. Beautifully said. And how sad, though, at the ending, until she touches the edge of winter and begins to crumble and fade. Her last two stanzas reminded me of the poem by Dylan Thomas, "Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night," because I find myself in my winter refusing to go gentle into the good night. Every day I try, and rather than crumble and wither and be cold and let the biting winds take me over, I try to rejoice every morning that I wake up and my eyes open. It's a good day. But I can understand, having seen how age affects other people, how it would be so easy to surrender. It buries me in an avalanche of cryptic notes of blues and grays because you feel the loss so acutely of what you didn't realize you had when you had it. I read a quote by Barbara Streisand. She was asked about. She said her how she looked today, and she said I wish I had realized how much better I looked 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You don't appreciate it when you have it until you look back over your shoulder and realize what you've left behind. But I think it's a gorgeous rite. Well, visual imagery is wonderful, and the storytelling is superb.
Wonderful comment, Bobby. I don't know how many people commented, Greg. Did you get 3 comments for Pam?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And we're now into open poetry. So here we go, Miss Katie.
Okay. I'm going to go... firstly, with Luke J.R., and it's called Conundrum Channel. And I wonder, Laurent, if you would read this for us, please.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Conundrum Channel. Unalerted light encased. Thin glass ovular lights may flicker. Shadows become modular, unrested with continuity in the heartbeat. Stairs left untouched from the empty seat. Taken inside the covers, wool with fabric. I am witness to something. This house has been undisturbed by footprints for days, weeks, months. I've seen faint tints, submerged light behind the shadowed trees. I make a sound, but I'm afraid of the bony knees. With thick leather strengthened to last, the moment I hear the unbuckle, I fast, avoid refrigerator raids, hiding behind shades. How the light can't reach the troubled. My punishment from them would have doubled. I look towards the pitch black room. My closet door represented an open room. I'd sneak towards the distant moon, the moon being the spotlight for danger. I always felt my heart drop to the gift of presence. Danger. Danger. Endpoint.
You had a fabulous read of Luke's poem. He was bringing out that this has to do with horror, thriller, surreal, trauma, teen, and sadness. You know, for me, the moonlight was, it was a beacon for me where I could see the danger and I could hide in the dark And I really liked where he had the opposite, where it says, how the light can't reach the troubled, my punishment from them would have doubled. I looked toward the pitch black room where my closet door represented an open room. You know, those sounds and those holes in the darkness where you didn't know what was in there or what was coming out. For me, I would go into the darkness where I knew I could hide wherever they were hiding, but they couldn't see me. But I would use the moonlight as a way to kind of guide my fears as I was as a teenager. This really brought back some very vivid memories of my childhood, and I really enjoyed that loop. Thank you so much. And Katie, I would like to know what you thought of, and thank you for reading it. Mirage, you did a great job. What did you think, Katie, about Luke's poem?
Oh, I liked it a great deal. I liked it a lot. I liked the fact that it was creepy, which is always always good. That's really what you want in the middle of the night, terrified, hearing nothing, and then hearing sounds. I made a sound, but I'm afraid of the bony knees, the thick leather strengthened to last. The moment I hear the unbuckle, I'd fast avoid refrigerator raids, hiding behind shades. Now, a little bit disturbing. That sounds more like something actually in real time for him. The moment I hear the unbuckle. That doesn't sound very good. So maybe this is something that there is more hidden within this piece of poetry than we'd realize it on its first read, perhaps. Yeah, because it talks about my punishment from then would have doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, as I say, maybe I'm reading far too much as usual into things, but I thought this was very good, and it made me shiver, which has got to be a good thing if you get a reaction from me. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, my dear.
And thank you, Katie. And Gray Eyes, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, it definitely has an ominousness to it. You know, this this home that is undisturbed, that belongs to something other than the cold child within, unexpected shadows approach. Objects become something more fearful. The moonlight becomes the flashlight that shines as a spotlight on capturing those who go near it. Any sudden sound and it's lights out. Yeah, a fantastic, right? Very detailed with its imagery, and you can feel the fear inside of the right. So well done, Luke, and great read, Lauren.
Thank you. Gray Eyes. And now we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Yes. Our next poem has a sound cloud, and it's I Am Her Fantasy by Poetic Picasso. So I wonder if you could find that for us, Gray.
Yeah, I'm looking now. Okay, here we go.
Stroke of calm ecstasy. I say to thus and feed our hunger of the nourishment of her soul. She moans in a false symphony of musical notes as we embrace a very deep thrust of untamed desire. I am the thunder of a raging storm, the pouring rain of an orgasmic ride, a wild stallion on the loose. Yo soy su fantasía sexual, y ella es mi delicia. Soy su satisfacción, soy su culminación. I am a sexual fantasy, and she is my delight. I am a satisfaction, I am a culmination. She wants me, she still craves my thrust. Ay, qué rico. Ay, qué rico. Ole. Ole. End of them.
Just when I almost started to stop coughing, I heard Frank reading. Oh, man. Ay, que rica.
So let's get him some comments. I would love to know what you think, Laurent.
I think that Frank has this nasty habit of bursting thermometers as it drives the heat upwards in a sudden swoop. He should be ashamed of himself. He teases us with tantalizing morsels of imagery that you wish you could experience instead of him having all the pleasure. Some of his stuff is just, I'm not going to say it's not relatable anymore. It is relatable, but to the effects that he has on me, I can't quite match that level of engagement, and so I'm a little jealous of his ability to conjure up that sexual magic that he does oh so well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Excellent comment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Laurent. And Bobby, I would love to know what you think.
Bobby.
Why did I know you were going to call on? We all know that every time I hear Frank Reed slide out of my chair.
and this
was no exception. But it's a love letter. It's a love letter, but it's read to them, and it's instead of written to them, it's read to them, and it's beautiful storytelling, and it's romantic, and very very sensual. And it's a beautiful ride.
Oh, great.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for that.
And Miss Katie, I would love to know what you think.
Oh, my. I don't know if that's a good idea. Oh, my goodness me. Oh, as usual, wonderfully expressed. I mean, really, I like this one because it's got the three-line stanzas, which are so cool. But I did like, obviously, I did like my fingers explore every inch of her exotic body, like a lustful flame ignited by my erotic heat. Oh, my goodness me. Where's that boy with the pan from? Come on, where's that? Pull me down. Beautifully done. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed
all
that.
Right. I appreciate
that. Yes, we did. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
And we're ready for
our
next poem.
Yeah.
And our next one is Sun Song by A.R. Mundell. And I'll read this one. I don't think I've read very much. I'll read this one, if nobody minds too much. Sun Song. One often forgets how fast the sun swings through those setting reds, It feels as though that turning time of pink is a world within itself, that their golden haze borders will stay ever on that looming horizon. Yet the sun does set and its world does fade as it was predicted, and that horizon darkens in subsiding tones like a whale swimming away after a song. End poem. Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And that was a beautiful read too, Katie. Let's get some comments, and our next poet to comment is Gray Eyes.
Fantastic job reading that, Katie. But, you know, I enjoyed the poem. It paints a pretty picture of sunset and its march through time, you know, and how fast that seems to happen at times. And I really enjoyed that last couplet where it says, and that horizon darkens in subsiding tones like a whale swimming away after a song. So it's just beautiful. Great job, Amy. Thank you for sharing.
And thank you so much. And our next poet to comment is Frank.
Yes, I thought the poem was very much, first of all, I agree with what was said here by Gray. You know, that last line was very touching there. You know, when we think about horizons and we think about sunset, we often find ourselves very much intuitively linked with nature, because it's very much like human nature. And I thought it was very reverential in that aspect, but I really did appreciate the metaphors here, and in particularly the beginning of the poem itself, because we do often take for granted the sun and other elements, of course, of our world. But I thought she did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. I thought she did too, and I loved the way Katie read her poem. I loved her couplet all throughout here. I liked where she talks about that their golden haze borders will stay ever on the looming horizon. You know, when our sunset here, it looks like it literally looks like the sky's on fire with vibrant yellows and oranges and maroons and deep reds. You know, and then it has this light, almost white edging all the way across. And then her other stanza where she says, yet the sun does set and the world does fade as it was predicted, you know. I remember, studying history, how a lot of the ancient civilizations were so afraid that the sun was going down, you know, and that, you know, that they, you know, prayed, you know, as they did during, I can't remember what it's called, where eclipses, where the sun would come back up. So this brought out a lot of different images in my mind and also beauty. Beautiful poem, Amy, and beautiful read, Katie. And we're ready for our next poem.
All righty. And our next poem is Riding to the End of the Line by S. Sharp. And Gray, could you read this for us, please?
You bet. Okay, one second here.
Yeah, no problem.
Riding to the End of the Line by S. Sharp. The train runs underground along old tracks in dank tunnels. The light strikes into the car periodically, predictably, as the faces of addiction flash, then disappear, flash, then disappear. The train ambles along, clacking at each rail junction, passing every stop. Clack, 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 clack. Clack, clack. The faces on the train are grim. They look hopeless. Aimless passengers with nowhere to go. Clack, 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 clack. The light strikes into the car. It seems every face is mine. End poem.
Oh, fabulous read, Gray.
He says in his author's note that it's written to the theme of addiction.
Okay. Thank you, Gray. Thank you for pointing that out. And let's get some comments. Laurent?
This is quite a good poem. Riding to the End of the Line can seem exactly what it is, riding to the end of a bad life, riding to the end of your ability to continue living the way you have been. The trace of addiction that every passenger wears with nowhere to go, and then having it translate into his face puts him solidly among those who are approaching the end of existence, if you will. They have nowhere to go, and they're just going to stick in and fall away. But suicide, killed somehow, wither like a flower, doesn't matter. But that's nowhere to go. This is so moving, and it really grasps the hopelessness of that trip, that train going nowhere. Great piece.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Laurent. And Frank, I would like to know what you think.
Yes, I thought the poem was very much very introspective. You know, there's so much awful in this poem here with just those lines, clack, 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 you know. You would think that, you know, it's all about noise. But apparently it's also about a mind being affected. And so when you think about being on a train and you find yourself seeing the face of every passenger and you see yourself being like them, it really makes you think about how much you really find yourself lost in your own chasm. So I thought he did a fantastic job, just with the whole notion of the poem. I thought it was very powerful too. And I like the analogy there to the train. I thought he did a fantastic job.
Thank you. And Bobby, you're next to comment.
Certainly. I thought this was a very visceral piece. It is definitely very sobering. The way, as someone said earlier, the way it's portrayed addiction as a train ride, as the light flashes and disappears. The piece gives the feeling to me of an endless journey. There's no place. Mm-hmm. The faces of the train are grim. They look hopeless, aimless passengers with nowhere to go. I mean, definitely creates that feeling. But then you get the gut punch at the end. It seems every face is mine. A stunning ending. It really is very introspective, very well written.
Great. Thank you, Bobby. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Short. And we are ready for our next poem, Ms. Kay.
Right. And our next poem will be, if you just bear with me for one moment. I nearly sent it to you.
Oh, dear.
I won't be sending. Legitimately, you could say I can't see it. Here we are.
It's a
okay,
day,
the next
one.
We have, it jumped. Here we are. Hovering Like Bees by Laurent Yvan. So could you read that for us, please, Laurent?
I can. Hovering like bees. Flower blossomed and time began a length of eons ago. We are micro within the macro, riding a petal portion of this blossom, grown so large since birth, to become formless without boundaries, beating horizons, thought confined to its core, which is everywhere. Known universe is its fishbowl garden. Exponential growth. Grab your board, ride the blossoms leaving eggs. Outrace light, new life forms, streaming, blinding dots and dashes. As your world turns white and your skin is fused glass. Where there was no existence, blossom creates. Streaming 360 universe expands, birthing time to non-existence. No beach in sight, wave rolls on, always birthing time. Carbon as a way of life. Rainwater fills the tank. Just a large terrarium, well lit. We will never outpace leading edges, always confined to to our small piece of time's flower, over which we may buzz, hovering like swarms of pollinating Da Vinci bees. End poem.
Would you please read your author notes, Marat?
The blossoming flower is a metaphor for the ever-expanding universe. The vision is a big leading edge of the universe as it screams outwards, eating invisible horizons.
Yeah, you know, I really thought that you did this brilliantly. I really loved your imagery of the hovering bees. You know, the universe just keeps expanding and expanding, and we're just, you know, we're not into the Star Trek era yet where we can go out into those stars and, you know, go investigate everything. You know, I liked here where you said, birthing time to non-existence. No beach in sight, wave rolls on, always birthing time. You know, that imagery there, just, you know, how things just keep growing and expanding. Universes, you know, next universes, some of them colliding. You know, where you're talking about the macro and the micro, you know, how it, you know, how everything is constantly in a moving thing as we are moving also. Even though we may be, like you said here, thought confined to its core, which is everywhere, known universe is is its fishbowl garden. And that just made me smile. I really enjoyed this very much, Laurent.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Katie, you're next to comment.
Thank you. Yes, I enjoyed this very much too. I love the idea of all of this going on around us while we are completely oblivious to the actual largeness of everything. We don't even think about it. I mean, there's that wonderful joke about gravity sucks. Now, I love that. It's so concise, and it's something you don't think about. It's just there. I mean, really, when you think about it, remarkable. The very fact that we are here is remarkable. It amazes me when you're talking about what there is outside of our own little tiny world. Oh, wow. It is and so much variety. There's another thing. So much on our world, growing and living. Anyway, sorry. I thought it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. I love the thought of the universe. Something might be out there. I just hope it never finds us, but it might be. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. They invite you to get. They send up satellites and invite you to come here, but yet, you know, I don't think we'd be. I don't know about that welcoming factor. After all these movies that we see, what happens when aliens do come to visit?
Exactly.
And Gray Eyes, I would like to know what you think.
Well, you know, your thought-provoking talent shines through in this, right? It was beautifully written, and. A fabulous read as well. I enjoyed your personification of the blossom being the universe ever expanding. It was a beautiful and thoughtful read. So well done and great read as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Laurent. And we're ready for our next poem.
Why do they keep putting the send button on different sides of the screen? Oh, anyway.
Yeah, to make it harder.
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're probably right. Oh my goodness, keeps me awake at least. You know, that's got to be a good thing. Not that I could fall asleep listening to this wonderful poetry. Perish the thought. Okay.
There you go.
I was taking my time because I've lost what I was doing again. I get so tied up in what I'm listening to. I'll be with you in a moment. Oh, yeah, I got it. Here we are. Oh, my goodness. It's like, this is like having like shock treatment to my poor heart every time I lose it. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, little devil. Life as a Mountain by Captain B2. Oh, Bobby, would you be kind enough to read this?
That's me.
That's you.
Yay.
After listening to the song that you put up, I thought this would be a good choice for this evening. Life is a mountain. Be like a mountain. Aim to touch the sky, but stay rooted to the ground. By our famous quote, Anonymous. I was born as the mountains thrust into being. Orogeny amid upheaval. Conceived of earth, water, air, and fire. I rose up tall and proud, a pinnacle, an apex, a summit, replete with steep slopes, jagged ridges, peaks. The winds of change buffeted my surface, created crevices, turned my sharp peaks and jagged ridges to rubble. The torrents of life cascaded over my surface like a cataract, wearing my rough face, smoothing and rounding my slopes. Life and change eroded away much of what I had been, plundering great chunks, pilfering small nuggets. In truth, I had been transformed by nature and circumstance, and yet the change was accepted without question or regret. Though my time and season have gone, I am still I am content. I have existed in harmony with nature and life, knowing that the only relentless, unremitting constant is change. End poem.
This was a fantastic right to your quote, Bobby. I enjoyed this very much.
Thank you.
Especially right here, it says, yet I have been transformed by nature and circumstance, and the change was accepted without question or regret. You know, that just inspired me so much, because just like the mountains, we get weathered and, you know, we go through tumultuous storms and things and events that happen in our life. And, you know, just like a mountain stands there, It says, rooted to the ground. In our life, we need to be rooted no matter what type of storm we deal with in our life. And I thought this was just brilliantly planned, and I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
Matt, you are second to comment. I would love to know what you think.
I admire this kind of writing a great deal, because the honorable, the esteemed captain, is very clever. So when she uses a word that one might not see normally, like orogeny, which is a meaning of convergent plates, which actually forces the mountains upwards, it could also be the convergent forces of a male and a female. So I saw other imagery there as well, because, you know, thrust into being, born, etc., takes two to tango, so to speak, and convergent plates do their thing. But the language in this, all the way through, the winds of change buffeted my surface, the torrents of life cascaded over my surfaces, life and change eroded. They're all themes of something aging, wearing away little by little until all that's left is the hill or the mound that the mountain had been. So, bravo. I don't know if you meant that, but there were any, but I was tickled.
Yes. Spot on. You grabbed it all.
Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you, Laurent. And Frank, you're next to comment.
First of all, I thought it was a next read. She had a reflection of herself here. And I really thought the whole notion described in this poem, and how you situate a poem with the mountain itself, and how you embody the poem with the mountain. I thought you did it so remarkably. I thought it was just fantastic, fantastic piece. Very, very much. Very innovative as well.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you very much, Frank. And we only have 15 minutes left. Miss Katie, let's see if we can get a couple more in.
Oh, of course. Like we have Dogs and Cars and Me and You and Her by Juno Cardoso. And Gray, would you read this for us, please?
Sure, you bet. Just one second here. This is called Dogs, Cars, Dogs and Cars, and Me and You and Her by Nuno Cardoso. You got home late. Had to feed my coworker's cat. Can you call me an Uber? Sure. Donna Marie Estefania Street, N48. Uber's 1 minute away. How much was the fee? $12. F those pricks. You strapped for cash? No, but the coins I can use on the coffee machine at work and the 10-year-old bill to buy smokes. I grab the dog's leash and attach it to him. Thump. Why did you light that up that cigarette? Uber's here. Do you want this cigarette? Sure. The woman that I'm talking to, one of the most beautiful women you'll ever meet or read about, enters the Uber and waves at the Labrador. Goodbye. The dog starts to point at the car, nose and paw. Then he took a leak on the apartment building's wall. He stared at the car as it was making a U-turn. The dog starts to walk away. Then he spun around and eyeballed the car one final time. Just thought I'd let you effers know about my mom and my dog. End poem.
No. I do like this
humor
and the daily crap that you have to go through every day. Oh, my goodness. Katie, I would love to know what you think of Nuno's home.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Oh, my goodness me. He's got such a way with him. I love the beginning where we have that conversation. That's so cool. I do love conversation between people in a piece of poetry because it brings it to life, doesn't it? I had to feed my coworkers. Can you call me an Uber? And at that point, of course, in my head, can you call me an Uber? Yes, you're an Uber. Not funny, but that's how it works in my brain. Gives you an idea how hard it is. I love it. I thought it was very clever. And it's so true to life. I don't want to use the coins that I could use in the coffee machine at work. Clever. I like that. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. New. So I can't say your name.
No.
I'm practicing.
Yes.
I practice, honestly.
Thank you, Katie. And Gray Eyes, you read the poem. I would like to know what you think.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed it. It really paints a picture of this moment in time where his mom's getting in the cab to go away and the dog's staring intently. And I thought it was wonderful. It was well done. Humorous and definitely engaging.
Agreed, Gray. And Bobby, what did you think?
I love the colloquial nature of it. It gave me the feeling of beat poetry, of someone standing up and spontaneously coming up with this in front of an audience. Had that feeling to me because it was unexpurgated. It was just very spontaneous and very human. It's not, there's no pretense in this at all. And I loved it. I just thought I'd let you ever know about my mom and my dog. And it is charmingly irreverent.
Agreed. Wonderful comments, everybody. Ready for our next poem, Miss Katie?
Okay, and we have Divine. No, I'm probably not going to say this correctly. It's jumped again. Get back here. Divine Eudaimonia. Nope. By Randa Joshi. I do apologize for that, Randa. Not pronouncing it correctly, I'm sure. But Bobby, would you like to read this for us, please?
Certainly. And Eudaimonia has no one-word translation in English.
Ah.
It's a combination of well-being, happiness, and flourishing. So
cool.
I was sneaky. I looked it up.
Thank you.
Divine Eudaimonia. The chill of the night makes sky shiver. To keep warm, she attires herself with a handmade cashmere cream cloud shawl on her bare shoulders. Albino trees with bleached hair huddle around horizon's hearth. Mountains snuggle together
and zip their fluffy winter coats to cover their huge, bulging, muscular chests. Cold winter dried lakes tears on her cheeks, makes her face stiff. On the surface, an influx of toffee light goes skiing with fragile delicacy. Splendid open-air concert performances of grand opera are held in landscape's spacious lounge with stunning theatrical entertainment. An inexpressible tenderness, melody, and harmony lull my senses, clenched in their hands, beckoning me to join them and lure my mind to hum along with their merry tune. Worry that tucks in life's dark crevices crawls out and forced to hibernate under an ample alabaster ceramic tiles of ice. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful read of Rhonda's poem, Bobby. Thank you so much. You know, for me, you know, I find utter happiness and well-being being in nature, especially up in the mountains. You know, I thought that, you know, she caught it here, splendid open-air concert performances of grand operas are held in landscape spacious lounge with stunning theatrical entertainment. And its inexpressible tenderness, melody, and harmony lull my senses, chains clenched in their hands, beckoning me to join them and lure my mind to hum along with the merry tune. You know, and there is that, you know, sense of beauty of the outdoors where nature's energies just fill your mind. You listen to the birds, the way that the wind sounds through the leaves, the trickling brook, it's just pure, utter happiness for me. I love it. How about you, Katie? What do you love about this?
I love everything. I don't think it's wonderful. I love the picture. Isn't that so gorgeous?
Oh, yes.
I like nighttime, and I like the fact that handmade Kashmiri cream cloud shawl on her bare shoulders. Isn't that beautiful? It's really lovely. And that scene is coming through in the poetry, that calmness, that silence, that beautiful water. Lovely. And I like the cold wind dried lake tears on her cheeks. It makes her face stiff. Which it would do, yeah, of course. Beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Rhonda.
And Raya, your other commenter?
You did a beautiful job reading that wonderful poem, Bobby. I like the natural aspect of the right. You know, you can picture all this as you read through it, which is a beautiful thing. And I thought you did a wonderful job of sharing that right with us. So great job, Rhonda. And I'd like to welcome Sidewinder to the show. Hello, Sidewinder.
Hello.
Hello. This is
Hi,
Sidewinder.
Hi, Sidewinder. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy to have you. And Miss Katie, welcome. We're ready for our next one.
Yes, and our next one is, let me make sure I get to the right place this time. This one is The Lonely Imitator, The Last Believer by Ben Hart. And Laurent, would you care to read this for us, please?
I think Laurent might have dropped.
Oh.
He did.
Okay, no problem.
Well, I'm still here.
You want to have him read the last poem since we've only got 5 minutes left?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Go for it, Sidewinder. The Lonely Imitator.
You'll say the poem in the group where we're talking.
The name, the name of the poem.
Yeah, it's in the group, the Late Night Poets group, where we're talking messages where you said hi.
Okay,
you
just
put the link in there.
Let me find the name of the poem.
Yeah, it's in the, she put it in the group. You know how, like, where you say
the
hi?
Imitation.
Said hi to us. And you'll see her name, Weaver Dream, and then you'll see the poem.
Okay.
The, mm-hmm. Press on that, and it'll come up.
Yeah. right. Okay, Weaver Dreams. Okay.
It's the last comment in the group.
Let's see.
It's been hard.
Well, I tell you what, Sidewinder, as time is ticking on, we won't put you through the agony of trying to find it.
Do you want me to read it?
Well, okay.
So no problem. Yes, if you could, please. Thanks.
Yeah, okay, if you can hear me, bear with me. The lonely imitator. There sits a Dutch man in early evening, with his hands in his hair, trying to keep his memories from leaving, and he's shouting at God for making him a giant in a land of no cover. So whichever way he turns, he sees him at worshipping a lover, from the world away he witnessed to the ritual of surrender. My praying's falling down, he turns, he is one of them, because he wishes to be let in on the secret that there's hope for the freak. So should he just find it his most absolute tenderness, the heart believer, there sits the Fritzian nickname in the stars, so he can remember them, make them feel seen, to let, just let them know they were more than just an impossible flame and an endless choke that is the silent ocean they were calling. They were beacons. They were
Frank, we lost you.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Could you read the last three lines of the poem, please?
All right. They were calling. They were beacons. They were freedom. Or at least they were to him. Proof that though time marches on, some things outlast the leading in the poem.
Oh, my goodness. That was a fabulous read, Frank. Thank you for reading Ben Hart's poem.
You're welcome.
Let's get him thank you. Let's get some comments. Bobby, I would love to know what you think.
Oh, I'm always enthralled by Ben's writing. His most recent submission to my current contest, I think, is 2,000 words long.
Wow.
Well, he boggles the mind. I mean, his thought process is so fascinating. He's personified, the lonely imitator. There sits the Dutchman in urban evening with his hands in his hair, trying to keep his memories from leaving. And he's shouting at God for making him a giant in a land of no cover. The imagery just at the beginning there is just astonishing. He pretends he is one of them because he wishes to be let in on the secret that there's hope for the freak should he find it his most absolute tenderness. You feel such sympathy for the protagonist in the first verse and the first section here. You feel his angst. You feel his desperation. To be able to communicate that kind of emotion is a rare and gifted rite. And then the last second part of it, I really like this. Here there he sits, the Frisian, nicknaming the stars so he can remember them, make them feel seen, just to let them know they were more than just an impossible flame. Just the thought of that, you look at the sky and you think, do they really know? You wonder about the consciousness out there. You wonder about the infinity. And I like proof that though time marches on, some things outlast their leaving. Those last two lines are stunning.
Agreed. Thank you, Bobby. And Sidewinder, would you like to make a comment? Sidewinder? Okay. I know. Gray, are we still on?
I can hear you.
No, the show is off the air.
Can you hear me? Okay, so if you drop, sorry, Sidewinder. Gray Eyes, would you like to make a quick comment?
Sure. I thought the read was great, but, you know, the poem is definitely intelligent. It's inspiring. It's thought-provoking. You know, it really makes you think. Between the lonely imitator and the last believer, as this title is so aptly named. And, you know, I prefer the last believer, as he nicknames the stars so he can remember them, making them feel they're seen, and just to let them know they were more than just an impossible flame. That's just a beautiful sentimental, right?
Agreed. Thank you, everybody. Be here next Monday where we have more front page picks and open poetry. I love you guys. I had such a wonderful night with you all. Thank you for supporting me. And besitos. Kisses to
good
everybody.
Night,
good night. Love you guys. So happy to hear you guys with us tonight. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Good night. Much love.
Take care.
Buenas noches.
Besitos.
Gray.
Take care, everybody.
Good night.